Reflected upon.
Reflected upon.
Dia. With full intelligence. Translation: Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, hearing these enigmatic words of Narada Muni, the Haraspas considered them with their natural intelligence without help from others. Text 11, translation. The Haryaspas understood the meaning of Narada's words as follows. The word Bhu, earth, refers to the field of activities. The material body, which is the result of the living being's actions, is this field of action, and it gives him false designation. Since time immemorial, he has received various types of material bodies, which are the roots of bondage in the material world. If one foolishly engages in temporary fruitive activities and does not look toward the cessation of this bondage, what will be the benefit of his actions? Report. Narada Muni spoke to the Haraspas, the son of Prajapati Daksha, about 10 allegorical subjects: the king, the kingdom, the river, the house, the physical elements, and so forth. After considering these by themselves, the Haryaspas could understand that the living entity engaged in this body seeks happiness but takes no interest in how to become free from this encagement. It is a very important verse, as all the living entities in the material world are very active, having obtained their particular types of bodies. A man works all day and night for sense gratification. Animals like hogs and dogs also work for sense gratification all day and night. Birds, beasts, and all other conditioned living entities engage in various activities without knowledge of the soul encased within the body. Especially in the human form of life, one's duty is to act in such a way that he can release himself from his engagement. But without the instructions of Narada or his representative in the succession, people blindly engage in bodily activities to enjoy maya sukha, flickery, temporary happiness. They do not know how to become free from their material engagement. Vrishabhadeva, therefore, said that such activity is not at all good, since the engaged soul again and again in a body subject to the threefold of the miseries of material condition. The Haraspas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, could immediately understand the purport of Narada's instructions. Our Krishna consciousness movement is specially meant for such enlightenment. We're trying to enlighten humanity so that people may come to understand that they should work hard in tapasya for self-realization, freedom from the continuation of birth, death, old age, and disease in one body after another. Maya, however, is very strong. She is expert in putting impediments in the way of this understanding. Therefore, sometimes when it comes to the Krishna conscious movement, it again falls to the clutches of Maya, not understanding the importance of this movement. Translation: Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, hearing these enigmatic words of Narada Muni and Haraspas, consider them with their natural intelligence without help from others. The word Bhu refers to the field of activities. The material body, which is a result of the living being's actions, is his field of activities, and it gives him false designation. Since time immemorial, he has received various types of material bodies, which are the roots of bondage into the material world. If one foolishly engages in temporary fruitive actions and does not look toward the cessation of this bondage, what will be the benefit of his actions? So, Narada Muni came to the Haryaspas, the sons of Daksha, and he gave a symbolic picture or story, such as is often given by sages in order to teach something. So in this case we have a kingdom and a hole and a woman, a man living there with a husband, a river that flows in both directions, a house made of 25 materials, a swan that sings, an object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. Without an explanation, it is difficult to understand what Narada Muni is talking about. Nevertheless, the Haryaspas understood the meaning of this. It's a representation of the body stuck in the material world, subject to karma. So the earth refers to the field field of activities in which a person has his body, and in that body then he does certain activities and he gets different results, and these activities lead to material bondage. So this is a common theme in the Vedic literatures. The material body leads us into bondage of karma, birth after birth. This is of course explained in Bhagavad Gita as well, and many places in the Bhagavatam. That was a very basic teaching. So we have basic teachings and we have advanced teachings. We have to understand the difference between the body and the soul. At least we have to understand there's something different from matter. If we can't accept that, we can't understand God also. So at least we have to understand difference of body from the Atma. So that is one type of knowledge that must be given. That of course is not complete knowledge. The other type of knowledge is knowledge of the Supreme Lord and the relationship of the Atma with the Supreme Lord. So the two must go together. If you're left with only knowledge of Atma and body, that is incomplete. It's better, of course, than no knowledge at all, because we can stop karma. But higher than that, and more complete than that, is the knowledge of the Supreme Lord in relation to the Atma. That's even more important. So we cannot only learn about difference of body and soul. We must also get the other knowledge to make it complete. That is the difference between jnana and bhakti. Jnana gives us knowledge of Atma different from body. Bhakti gives us knowledge of the Supreme Lord and the relationship with the Atma. So though jnana is higher knowledge, it is not complete. We must get the other knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So, how do we destroy the bondage of karma? If we get the knowledge, we can try to destroy that by our knowledge itself. That means we understand we're not the material body, and we should not strive in the material world for material enjoyment. So the more we can reduce our activities of enjoyment in this material world, to that degree we can begin to stop our karmas. That's a very long process. And as long as we have a material body, we still have to support it. So we still have to do activities and we still have to get karma. Nevertheless, we can reduce all the unnecessary activities and concentrate upon the understanding that we are not the body, we are the soul. So this is the process of jnana. It's a long process by which eventually you can destroy your karmas. The other process is the process of bhakti. So the process of bhakti does not attempt to stop the activities, stop the senses, etc. Instead, the very definition of sadhana bhakti is pratisadhya, to attain the goal by means of the senses. So we use the senses in the mind in a particular way to get to this next stage called bhava bhakti, or sadhana bhakti. So this is different from the sadhana of jnana, which is an attempt to stop the activities. So we engage in a certain way. So that certain way of engagement is to engage the senses not for ourselves but for pleasing the Supreme Lord. So that is the process of sadhana bhakti. So this is the process is not aimed at destroying karma and getting liberation. The process is aimed at pleasing the Supreme Lord. However, we learn that the first symptom of bhakti is to destroy
all suffering,
which means suffering comes from karma.
Karma comes from desire, desire comes from avidya.
All of that is destroyed by the process of bhakti. It's not the goal of bhakti, it is one of the effects of bhakti. Of course, we also learn that even Namavas has such power that it can destroy all your karmas and give you liberation. Whereas a person will have to practice jnana or yoga for many lifetimes to get liberation. So simply chanting Namavas even once is enough to destroy all your karmas. And even if you're not a devotee, like Ajamil, chanting accidentally destroys karmas. But such is the potency of bhakti that the destruction of karmas is not some big endeavor. It is simply a side product of the development of bhakti. So, therefore, the main goal of the devotee is to try to please the Supreme Lord. That is the idea. Here we have a very basic instruction Narada Muni is giving, that you must understand that you're not the material body, and that when we act in this material body with desire, then we cause all sorts of karmas, etc., and we get trapped here in the material world. So such instructions are necessary for people who are involved in the material world and have no idea that they're not the material body. But once that truth is established, they have to go further than that. So the instructions of Bhagavad Gita in chapter 2 are important, but they're also not the final instructions. Simply understand you're not the body is not the final goal. But in the course of teaching, Krishna actually goes on for many chapters, and only after in the sixth chapter he begins to mention about bhakti yoga. So, therefore, it is important that we somehow understand that we are not the material body. Very, very necessary. It's a basis. But at the same time, we also do have to have that added factor of the supreme knowledge of the Supreme Lord so we can perform bhakti. So the two things go together. So in the process of bhakti, we do not reject the conclusions of jnana. That we're not the body, that we are atma, that we should not have karma, etc. But the ultimate goal of devotion is much, much different from that of jnana or yoga or karma. So Narada Muni is the Shaktivesh avatar who teaches bhakti. Nevertheless, here he is teaching about basics of not the body, etc. Just as Krishna begins to teach Arjuna. So in this way we understand these things are necessary, but at the same time we should understand this is only one step of knowledge, and higher than that is to understand our relationship with the Supreme Lord. Combination. We also cause our own suffering in this life. Can't blame everything on karma.
But still devotee.
Oh, as far as devotees are concerned, there's two factors at work. One is the idea that, yes, bhakti destroys karmas.
Yeah.
And in the case of Ajamil, he destroyed all of his present, past, and future karmas. Accidentally chanting. Condition there was no aparams. Now, of course, in bhakti, we should expect more destruction because it is intentionally performed bhakti. That is true if we do not commit aparadas and such things. At the same time, we do see that there is a stage called anartana vritti. So it means the anartas are gradually destroyed. Of course, we could say that stage could be quick in some cases and not so quick in other stages. However, it is also said by Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur, that the karmas ultimately are completely destroyed at the end of a sakti. So that would mean if one has not attained a sakti, then karmas would still be present to some degree. So there would be some small amounts of karmas still manifesting themselves. And then it would be destroyed. In the case of a person who's in bhava or prema, technically would have no karma. However, we see they suffer also. What is that? One, of course, is the Supreme Lord himself has his own pastimes with his devotees. The other is, because we have nityasiddhas who also seem to suffer, like Yudhisthira and the Pandavas and whoever. That's all Lord's pastimes, nothing to do with karma. However, for the sadhaka, sadhanasas in the material world, we have a pattern of karma left by the Supreme Lord, even in prema. So the Lord keeps a little pattern of karma there, even for the devotees of the Lord, the high prema bhaktas of the Lord, even if they have transcended the material world. They have a pattern of karma which the Lord in most cases leaves there. That includes a material body. Material body is the result of karma. If you destroyed all your karmas, as soon as you got prema, you would disappear. No more body. So that means all the devotees would disappear as soon as they got elevated. And there would be no preaching or anything in the instructions of the material world. Only Madhyamadikaris could do the preaching, which is usually the case anyway. But they would no longer even be there as evidence of anything, because all the karmas, including the body, would get destroyed. So the Lord leaves the body there, and he leaves a little trace of karma there also. It's not karma, it's under the word of the Lord. So it's a pattern of karma left by the Lord, but technically it's actually destroyed by the end of a sakti. And other actions are not necessarily karma. So you can voluntarily inflict suffering on yourself if you want to. You can starve yourself, you can intentionally wound yourself, you can overeat or whatever. That's not karma. That's things we do in this lifetime, which are our own actions now, and they can cause us suffering also. If you smoke cigarettes, you can get cancer. It's not karma. That's your actions of this lifetime. If you overeat, you get fat. That's not karma. That's your overeating in this lifetime. So those things are not karma.
అక్కడ పోషన్ పల్లి నేను రావాలి.